Did you see all the articles this morning proclaiming Conan O'Brien the godsend of podcasting?
What? No.
He signed a $10 million contract with Midroll to do another 2 seasons of his podcast. So Variety is calling him like the new godfather of podcasting and like the one that's making it a real viable business and all this stuff.
What?
And everyone in the comments is like, Conan O'Brien is just a TV host that has a podcast. But I think their point
people
is that
people have been having viable businesses off of podcasts for 10 years.
Yeah. But, you know, when a big name gets in and gets a $10 million check, I guess people pay attention. They're like, it's mainstream now. Conan did it.
So dumb. I mean, I love Conan, but I've never listened to his podcast.
Yeah. Well,
I might.
Apparently millions of people are, and that's how you get $10 million for 2 seasons.
Yeah. How long's his podcast?
I have no idea. Are you trying to figure out how much he gets paid per minute?
Yes.
I saw this question asked on Comedians in Cars Getting Coffee on the Seth Rogen episode.
Okay.
Jerry, out of the blue, says, would you rather hurt someone's feelings or get your feelings hurt?
Hmm. What did Seth Rogen say?
Is that going to inform your answer?
Yeah. I live in his shadow. Everyone does. No, he's getting more fit, isn't he?
He bounces around, I think.
Yeah, he's a method actor. It's like Christian Bale and Seth Rogen.
You couldn't think of it.
And the other guy who lost a lot of weight for that one role.
Seth Rogen said he would rather have his feelings hurt.
Yeah.
And they said, I don't want to ever hurt someone's feelings.
Was that a live clip?
Yeah, he's here.
Yeah.
Welcome, Seth Rogen.
I agree. It feels too shitty to... I mean, both feel shitty, but they're like two different forms of shitty. One's worse. One's longer lasting.
You think it's longer lasting to hurt someone's feelings and then feel bad about it?
Yeah, because like hurting someone's feelings will come back at you like 10 years later in the middle of the night. Be like, oh, fuck, I'm such an asshole. I guess I'm not sleeping tonight.
Does this happen often? It sounds like this
almost every night.
Is the timeline just 10 years back? Like you just see things?
Yeah, I just like have no self like reflection for 10 years.
And then it all comes back.
Yeah.
So how old are you now? You're gonna be getting into like the mid-20s soon of self-reflection. That's going to be a bad time.
It's going to be rough.
Although not as bad as like late teens, I don't think.
No. Comparatively.
Yeah.
It'll be an easy ride.
But then almost worse because you should be more mature by then. So whenever you hurt someone's feelings in your mid-20s, it's like more your fault.
Yes, and you're also capable of hurting deeper.
Yeah. Yeah.
Cutting deeper.
I don't know. John Mulaney says that teenagers have the most accurate insults.
That's true. Sometimes even younger, like kids. Oh, yeah. There's no filter.
Yeah. Kids have the most accurate insults.
Yeah.
That stings. We don't reflect on those, though. I don't reflect on anything I said as a child.
But do you ever reflect on things childs have said to you? Children.
Childs.
Man, no. I had a, you know, those like Casio keyboards with the built-in like sounds and stuff.
Yeah.
My keyboard had like a preset tune called Child's Playing. And it would always make me so angry.
So
every time I read it.
It was just poorly translated from Korea or wherever.
It must have been.
Yeah. That's funny. I would also rather have my feelings hurt, but I'm wondering how badly. You know, because like kid insults, like getting your feelings hurt in a specific way, depending on what you're insecure about, could really cut deep.
I guess if it's like getting your heart broken versus telling someone that their tweet wasn't that funny.
What?
Maybe I'll. Maybe in that case, I'll just hurt your feelings.
Yeah. Yeah. It depends on the severity, but equal severity, I'd go with having my own feelings hurt.
Yeah. Might as well keep it self-contained.
There's already hurt feelings bouncing around inside me.
Yeah. Welcome to the club, new feelings. Snap. Crackle. Pop. This episode is brought to you by Kellogg's Rice Krispies. That's the totally wrong tone for a Rice Krispies ad. Just wanted to demonstrate that it could be done.
Could it be done? I feel like I'm about to watch a documentary about how Snap killed Crackle and Pop.
Exactly. That's what I was going for. So we've all heard of the world's oldest profession.
Yeah. What prostitution. Is
it? That's right. When was the first time you heard it called that?
Called prostitution?
No. When's the...
Oh, the world's oldest profession.
World's oldest profession.
I feel like I probably heard it a lot as a kid, but didn't understand what they meant.
Right.
So, I don't know. The first time I probably got it was like 12 years old or something.
Wow, that's early. See, for me, it was in Community.
So you were like 20.
Older. Yeah. Probably 24, 25. Right. There's a scene where Britta's like, I know this guy who just, he has this cabin up in Aspen, and I get to use it whenever I want as long as I have sex with him once a year. And Jeff's like, I think you just discovered the world's newest profession.
I see.
And it struck me weird, and that's when I realized I had like a whole like a epiphany of times that I'd heard oldest profession.
Okay.
Anyways, what are some other oldest professions? Okay. And when will they die? / what oldest professions will never die?
Right. Okay. What is a shoemaker called?
A cobbler.
That's got to be an old one.
Yeah, for sure.
Right?
Yep. Still wearing shoes. Someone's got to be making them. Don't see them anymore, but I assume they got a lot younger.
There's no like cobbler people though, are there? Like there's no single individuals making shoes anymore.
I don't know that they're making, there probably is. I mean, there's artisans making everything somewhere. True.
Yeah.
But generally, I think it's shoes are made by teams of people, factories of children, etc.
Yeah.
But I know there's cobblers in Toronto where you can take shoes for repair and stuff.
Right.
Okay. They could probably make a shoe from scratch if they had to.
So they're still around. They'll become more popular once as we move towards like global whatever.
Global peak oil or what?
No, as we move towards like the extinction event, or you know,
they'll become more popular.
Yeah,
because we'll be trying to recycle our shoes more because no one will be making new shoes.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
Yeah,
gotcha. I was just gonna say along the same vein, tailors.
Yeah, I was thinking that too.
As long as there's clothes, someone's got to be fitting them to you, I guess. Yeah. Although I haven't worn a tailored item for a while, like not hand tailored.
Yeah, I feel like we could last a long time as a species on the clothes that are just out there right now.
Oh yeah, for sure. Like we could never make new clothes again.
Yeah.
And that'd be fine.
Yeah. Unless humanity changes shape in some way, like we get very small or very large.
Well, we're definitely gonna get larger.
I mean, that's the trend so far, but again, once the earth is drying up, right? Like we're going to...
True.
Whatever soon, nutrition we're getting that's making us big now, it's going to start going down.
Very true. We're going to have to trend towards compact, efficient bodies.
Yeah. Did you ever see that movie where they made Matt Damon really small?
The Martian?
No.
Maybe it was just because he was so far away.
Was it Matt Damon? Anyway.
Honey, I Shrunk the Kids?
It's like that, but it's modern, and it's to prevent global warming. They shrink everyone so that
what?
We all live in like fishbowl-sized communities.
What?
So we're not giving off carbon anymore.
That's a brilliant idea. This should have been our last question's answer. Shrink people.
Right. Why didn't I think of that?
But are they cooler right away?
Something happens and not everybody wants to be shrunk.
Gee.
But you can't you can't go back once you shrink. So okay. It's just about him trying to like live life in small world.
Man, what movie is this? That sounds amazing.
It was pretty good. I think I watched it on a plane. Let me try and Google that. What is the question though? What are we answering right now?
World's oldest professions.
Right.
And future professions. What could potentially be the new oldest profession in 1,000 years?
I think a lot of people would go for like tech stuff, but I think tech is going to die.
Yeah, tech will either vanish to the point where, you know, we don't even interact with it, or we'll start over and make a pact that we'll never create it again.
Yeah.
Because of what happened last time.
Yeah. Yeah. So I'm thinking that's why I said cobbler, like all the old school jobs,
mm-hmm.
the ones that right now are like niche, like yeah. artisan, like you said,
yeah,
those are going to come back in a big way. And shoemaking just seems like it, you know, especially if there's like nuclear waste and like sharp shit all over the ground, we're going to need shoes. Yeah. So,
also, what about just, you know, farmers and chefs?
Yeah.
Food
yeah,
production.
Exactly. Yeah.
But wait, does farming even count? Because I feel like once we get down to a certain point, like everyone's a farmer by default.
Yeah, I'm kind of with you there. Like, how big are our post-apocalyptic communities, right?
Yeah.
Like, someone's going to be like gardening at least to eat.
Yeah.
You know, and it might be that everyone has a garden, or that there's like small communities with gardens.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if like big agriculture will exist post-apocalypse.
That movie, more like
by
hunting.
The way, the movie is called Downsizing, and it came out in 2017.
And who is the star?
Matt Damon.
How did I miss this?
So Matt Damon and Kristen Wiig are a couple, and
they... Oh, it's a comedy.
No.
What?
It's not...
Kristen Wiig in a serious...
It's a
dramatic
drama.
Role.
I would call it a drama. I don't know if it called... Yeah, it says drama / sci-fi.
Okay.
So I'm going to spoil it a little for you.
Okay.
So Matt Damon and his wife, Kristen Wiig, decide to abandon their stress lives in order to get small and move to a downsized community. They go into the place where you get downsized, and they have to separate you by gender. And then the camera follows Matt Damon through the whole process. And then when he wakes up, he discovers that Kristen Wiig decided at the last minute to not do it. So he's stuck downsized. He can't get big. And that's when the plot really starts.
Oh, man, what a cunt.
I know.
What a literally enormous cunt.
Yeah. You hate her immediately. Yeah.
Man, what would you do? I would start a plot to like invade her body.
Oh, God. Like jump in her. I think they're like 5 inches tall, so you can't really.
Oh, okay.
Invade.
They're not microscopic. Yeah, yeah. Magic school bus style.
Magic school bus?
Magic school bus?
I don't know if we can leave her.
So offensive. Episode gone.
It's from the show. It's from the show.
Yeah. You think the guy who did the actual voice was Indian? I bet not.
Okay. Anyways. Yeah, it's just old school professions, I think.
Okay.
And I don't think I can do better than cobbler.
What about guy who watches the sky? Is that a profession or just just a pastime?
Like, watches the sky for what? Like,
I don't know. Well, I guess you can do it for
like a
leisure.
Like a weatherman?
Yeah, a weatherman.
Or like a astronomer.
Both, yeah. I think they kind of, I think there's some overlap there.
There's going to be no like, overlap between a weatherman and an
astronomer.
There's
going to be one telescope, okay? We're going to have to share. There's going to be one guy who knows how to run it. He does the weather. He does the stars. He does the balloon finding.
So are you hoping that your profession will be Skyman?
I'm trying to lay some very, very crucial groundwork in this podcast.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Everybody needs a Skyman. You heard it here first, folks. Call 1-888-BARK-56 to hire your Skyman now before it's too late.
We haven't plugged the phone number in a while. People should call that. Nobody even knows about it anymore.
It's the internet's best kept secret.
Yeah. Call our podcast. Leave us a message. What do you think the new oldest profession is going to be? Call us at 1-888-BARK.
And if you think the answer is influencer, well, I don't know. I hope you're not right.
Please call us, though. We want to hear from you.
All right. This one's brought to you by old Billy Butterworth.
Bill Burr. This is who you're talking about.
That's right. You know how he's always saying he's got a squash for a head?
Yeah.
My fucking squash.
Decent impression.
No, it needs work. I could do better. But what kind of squash would you choose for your head?
Definitely one of the weird ones. Is
like one of those bumpy, like pregnant woman shaped ones.
I don't know what you mean by pregnant woman shaped ones, but
the ones that are like really skinny up top, like they have like a handle up top and then just like a giant pregnant belly.
Yeah. That's what I was thinking.
And they have little warts all over them.
Yeah. Don't know, most squash have warts all over them, or a lot of them?
I don't know. Sometimes.
Is like it just the Halloween ones?
Pumpkins don't usually, but sometimes they do. So I feel like it's like squash acne or something.
What is the difference between squash and a gourd?
I don't know that there's even a technical distinction.
Okay. That opens up more possibilities for me.
Yeah. I'm going to say gourds are allowed.
I say that as if I could name a specific gourd that I want for my
head. Now the gourds are on the table.
But I was thinking the one that you just described, the long skinny top.
Mm-hmm.
It kind of looked like not Smurfs, but there was a cartoon around the same time as Smurfs where the characters had like, am I thinking of Teletubbies? No.
Well, kind of. They're kind of shaped like that. They all have like an antenna type thing.
So Teletubbies kind of already have squash heads.
Yeah. Was it Squash Heads, the cartoon?
Oh, remember when we talked about Rocko's Modern Life?
Yeah, it's coming back. Is that what you're going to say?
Yeah. Like
as a movie?
Next day it was promoted to me on Netflix. No, it's a show. It's a series.
Okay, right, yeah.
It's just him in now. Like the trailer is all about like how his world is different because there's cell phones and...
Yeah, I think I read the blurb that he had spent 17 years in space. Is that how the original cartoon ends?
I guess.
Him blasting off?
Yeah, I guess. The trailer is them in space and they keep orbiting closer to the Earth and not going down for 17 years.
Hmm.
And then they decide to go down and they're blown away by what's changed.
Yeah, it's Rocko's ultra modern life now. Like where do you go from modern life?
Yeah.
He's retro in this modern life.
I know. It's too confusing. I don't know.
But I'll watch it. I'll watch the shit out of it. I honestly, I know that I loved Rocko's Modern Life, but can't remember a goddamn single thing that happened.
Yeah, same. I think I watched it as well, but I don't really remember what it was all about.
I remember it being like a little bit highbrow, like,
yeah,
sort of like The Tick, but not all the way there.
Yeah. Anyways, what kind of gourd would you want as your head?
Well, I would say like pumpkin, but one of those like oblong pumpkins, like a tall pumpkin.
I don't know what.
Well, like, okay. This typical pumpkin is more or less round, right?
Yeah.
But you can sometimes find a pumpkin that's like somehow vertically stretched.
Okay.
Just luck of the draw, or maybe you can probably like put them in a tube to grow.
So if pumpkins were Bert and Ernie, you want Ernie.
Exactly. Pumpkins. Exactly. Yeah.
Right.
Wait, Bert. I thought Bert has the tall head.
No, Ernie's the tall head.
Oh, man.
I'm pretty sure. But doesn't Bert just seem like the short, round guy? Like the name Bert?
Well, Bert starts with a B, which is also the first letter in banana, which is what his head looks like. That's how I remembered it.
No, Ernie's the tall head guy. Should we look it up or should we just let...
You seem way more confident. I'll trust you on this one.
I'm pretty confident. I would bet some money on it.
Okay.
Okay.
But yeah, I want a banana-shaped pumpkin head.
So you want to be Hey Arnold sideways.
Yeah, you could look at it that way, I guess.
Okay, cool.
But he's obviously a football head. Like, I don't want points. I don't want a top and bottom point to my head. Like, I want rounded off edges.
Do the gourd heads have facial features? Do we still get our eyes and nose and mouth?
Yeah, it's like a jack-o'-lantern, basically.
So it's just holes.
It's just holes in the gourd. But they move.
I think we're, again, inventing a new TV show or something.
I'm fine with that. I'd watch that.
Should we call it The Gourds?
Squash Heads.
Can one of the things they like to do be play squash?
No, they're so against it. It's so offensive to them to even talk about the sport of squash.
Okay, I like that better. You're right. All right, let's start storyboarding.
All right. Okay, you have to start a business with an animal or a type of animal. Which animal do you choose?
We have a lot of which animal do you choose questions, but like I'm not sick of them.
Hey man, we live in a world of so many species. Like why are we not employing more of them?
Well, we had that whole question about the monkey that was actually employed by the railway.
Yep. Honest Jack. What was it? I forget his name.
I don't think. It might have been Jack, but it wasn't Honest Jack. I don't think.
Well, was he a liar? I bet you that monkey never told a lie.
So the question is, I have to start a business like revolving around an animal or?
No, you have to be a business partner with an animal or like you have to make a pact with a species that you're now working towards the goals of profit.
Okay.
This is like fueled by a late night Coke binge with like in the jungle or something.
Have you heard about the guy that trained crows to bring him money?
No, but that's great. I was going to bring up Adam Carolla's attack crow strategy.
Okay, well, tell me about that, and then I'll tell you about the money crows.
I mean, there's so many options for crows, as Adam Carolla has said many times, but one of the best is like the trained attack crow / guard crow scenario. He wants to put crows in every school to deter school shootings.
Okay. I mean, it could work if your flock is big enough. Your
murder
is big enough.
No, man, one crow. One fucking crow. Try aiming a pistol with a crow attacking you.
For some reason, yeah, I mean, that's valid. But for some reason, when you said, like, put crows in every school, I didn't think of this. But as soon as you made it one crow, I pictured a crow in, like, a security guard uniform.
Oh, man, we'd armor him up for sure.
Like, does he have a sash and like a hat?
He has an eye patch, which is also like a laser targeting system.
I don't think crows need our assistance.
No,
to be badass.
They're so sweet.
So the money crows.
But also money crows. Like they can, crows will do anything for you for the right payment.
Basically, this guy made a vending machine that gave crows food when they brought it money.
Mm-hmm.
And then the word spread and the whole city's crows were coming to his backyard to deposit change.
That's amazing.
Yeah. And I don't know if it like lasted, but I don't see why you couldn't just have have them do that for you forever, you know?
Yeah, they'll pass it on to their children.
Yeah, like, is this guy still making money from the fountain? How much are his food costs? Does it offset? I want to know more about this business.
He started just eating the crow food. So.
That doesn't help him at all. What do you...
Oh, no, you're right. It's just that he was buying so much in bulk already.
You clearly need an animal to help you.
One day
business.
He poured it in a cereal bowl with some milk. I was like, oh, it's not that bad.
And then he slowly became a crow himself.
This could be a good movie.
Eventually, he was the one depositing money to get crow food. And the crow stopped.
Yeah, that's where it ends. That's the end of the crow cycle when you become one.
Did you have an animal in mind when you posed this question? Have you thought about this?
Well, I think like the obvious choice is dogs.
Right.
I mean, they can be security. They can be therapy. They can whatever.
They can pull you on a sled.
They can. Exactly.
Yeah. They can help you hunt.
Yep.
There's a reason they're man's best friend.
Exactly. They should be man's best co-owner of a business.
Do you think there's like legal loopholes?
Someone's here.
Oh, must be food.
Someone's at the front door.
Fuck, where were we?
Well, we just ate tasty burgers delivered to us via Uber Eats. So should we talk about cows as helping animals?
Do we get paid for that Uber Eats plug?
I'll bleep it out.
Well, yeah, I was saying dogs are an obvious choice because they're so versatile.
Right, yeah.
But I was thinking maybe flamingos.
Yeah, I listened to An Every Little Thing About Flamingos. Did you hear that one?
I think I did, actually.
And how badass they are?
Yeah, they're really hot right now. I'm seeing like flamingo shirts everywhere. I bought one.
Yeah, I think they're the animal of... they're like the print of the summer season.
Yeah.
You know how like 2019, a couple of years ago it was watermelons?
Yeah.
Pineapples.
That's when I was the watermelon king. Now I'm the flamingo king. I just, I go with whatever is the...
You're the king of fast fashion.
Yeah.
Yeah, flamingos can drink boiling water. They can survive like standing in acid.
Oh, yeah. And they can freeze over their feet.
Yeah.
Go to sleep in ice and just thaw out in the morning.
And it's fine.
That yeah. would, like, just for that ability alone, how do we monetize that?
There must be some sort of, like, tactical gear that we can make out of flamingo legs or something. Is that what you mean by partner?
So rather than partner, we harvest.
Just their legs.
Okay. I'm sure some flamingos would go for that.
They stand on one all the time, so if we take the one that they're not using, I'm sure it's fine.
Take every flamingo's spare leg, and we got a business.
Acid.
I was thinking more like they would just be like advertising. Like whatever event you're throwing, I show up with all my flamingos.
Okay. That's a nice partnership.
They don't have to work too hard. Probably people will like feed them shrimp out of their shrimp cocktails or whatever.
That's one of the requirements of hiring you.
I have another side business, which is the shrimp cocktail business truck. It's a food truck.
And that has to be at the flamingo-related events.
You have to book us both.
Do flamingos even eat shrimp? What do flamingos eat?
I don't know. I picture them eating shrimp, but...
Other than boiling water.
It could be like krill.
Why do you think it's all small sea creatures?
I don't know. They stand in water and I guess they could eat land-based stuff.
Yeah, I have no idea what a flamingo's diet is. I shouldn't really be throwing stones.
I picture it being stuff they pull out of shorelines.
Yeah. Yeah, that's probably fair.
What else could you do with a flamingo army?
I feel
like they could guard stuff. Like birds are kind of fierce. Sometimes like geese would be another good option if you were running like a guarding security business.
I feel like you could just like put microphones on a flamingo and use them for surveillance.
Oh, that's perfect.
And like at the end of the movie, it goes through a recap of all the scenes where there's a flamingo in the background.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And it all comes together.
Yeah.
You're like, oh, it was the flamingos. Also, you could get a flamingo suit and like just have a like a ton of them with you and just be camouflaged among them.
Inspector Gadget style.
Yeah.
Did he do that? Was it he that did that? There's like a cartoon detective that disguises himself.
Well, it's a brilliant idea. I'm sure I'm not the first.
Are we starting businesses or new movie/TV show ideas?
Is there even a difference these days?
I don't think so.
Every you do anything business, well enough, it becomes a movie.
Yeah, that's true. Or poorly enough.